Blog Talk Radio. Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Debastian. Thank you for joining us tonight. As you know, I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight are my co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in the relationships with each other. Kim's a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She will say that secrets she has heard men utter about love, relationships, and marriage, and she's learned these from being a topless dancer in a gentleman's club. And please feel free to call in with your questions. The call-in number is, as always, 646-929-0958. Well, tonight's show is going to be really fun as we talk about new technology, more ways to stay connected. And if we have all these more ways to stay connected, then why are we having so much trouble connecting? Cell phones, text messages, emails, answering machines, online dating, voicemail, so many ways to communicate with each other. But are we getting closer or being driven further apart? Are you guilty of textual abuse? Oh boy, we know what that is. Have you ever broken up with someone via email? Has everyone always expect you to pick up your cell phone anytime, day or night? Are all these new ways of connecting helping or hurting us on our path toward peace and love? Now, tonight we're going to be discussing love and relationships 21st century style, very different from anyone else. And it was funny when I was sending out the invitation to join our show today, I was going to put a line in it that said, maybe we need an electronic blackout. But I didn't put that in. And then later on today, I was driving behind a car, and the license plate was blackout. Well, I was doing a tarot card reading this afternoon, a very heavy one for a young guy. And young people, when they're 18 or so, and they're going down a wrong path of drugs and abuse and selling drugs and all kinds of stuff, you can't tiptoe around the reading. They need to be hit right between the eyes. And at the moment when his grandfather, who had just passed away, came through to say, if you continue what you're doing, you're not long for this earth. A blackout occurred in my entire complex where I lived, scaring the hell out of him and me, because it was already dark. We were in pitch black at that moment. And as I could only light some candles and we finished the reading that way, it was very strange that the word blackout had been told to me, and I'm sure his grandfather was letting me know that he was going to give this boy a very strong message. So as we're talking about all the ways that we connect and don't connect, you know, I found with my own life, the cell phone has in some ways been sort of a nuisance to me, and I probably don't use it as much as other people. But what I've found is happening in the world is people are getting dependent on each other in not a very healthy way. Years ago when we were growing up and we had problems, we couldn't call our parents or anybody. Sometimes we'd have a flat tire in the middle of nowhere, and we'd depend on a stranger to help us. We weren't calling our parents or our friends or, you know, someone to come help us. We had to sort of take care of things ourselves. And I'm finding that there's times, and very rarely do I ever have time to go shopping or do something, but you're in the store, you just want some peace and quiet, and someone's calling me who works for me, and they have a problem, and they have trouble, and you've got to pick up the phone. If you don't pick it up, they keep calling you and bugging you. So in some ways we're connected, but I'm not so sure it's all that healthy. Now, I know Kim and Nicole both have a little stories going on. Everyone wants to know what's happening with Nicole and Kim, what's going on with Kim's love life. So we should do a little bit talk about that before we get into our topic tonight. But, Kim, what's happening with your love life? Everybody's been emailing me. What's happening?
Oh, what's happening? Well, the other day I was throwing some stones into the water at the beach, kind of walking along the beach, and a young gentleman came up to me and asked me if he could walk with me.
Young gentleman being how old? I mean, is this, you know, is this jailbait or is this, you know, at least over 21?
No, he's over 21.
He's over 21. He's a little younger than I am.
Oh, so you're going to be a cougar? Is this your cougar?
He's 29,
he
so he's only
29.
So he's only a year
29.
Younger than me.
Okay, and you know, soulmates will have age differences between them sometimes. So I mean, that doesn't shock me. That's good. That's not a bad thing. We don't question the package love comes in. So how
is
the walk?
That's what I said, Cindy. Because honestly. I'll put it this way. Kim went over to the beach, okay, and I had the children over by me at the store, okay, and I had to go drop them off to her over by where Kim was because I had a couple of things I needed to take care of and I couldn't have them there to do it. So I drive over the beach and I see this guy talking to Kim, and Kim is doing like her little like flirty poses.
Nice.
You know, like she does. She's like Kim's got a certain way that she stands when she's flirting. Okay, so I see her flirting, and even her daughter said, "Mommy looks like she's flirting with that boy."
That
which
boy
kind of made me laugh. Yes.
Does
and
he
I
look young?
You,
how young
Cindy,
does he look?
No, he looks like a man.
He looks like a man. He definitely looks like a man. But this guy is hot. Oh, my God. For me to say that he's hot,
a lesbian
he's hot.
Calling a man hot, we know we're really, this guy's on fire. Okay.
Oh, my God, yeah. He's got, I mean, and the body on him. Oh, my God.
Well,
I might actually jump the fence for a night.
Well, that's not everything. I mean,
not a bad
but he's
thing.
Also, but I actually had the pleasure of speaking to this man a little bit when Kim went over to the car with the children. And he seems like he's very, very smart. I actually knew his dad when I did real estate. So he comes from money, and he's semi-retired at 29.
Oh.
What does that tell you?
Interesting.
And he wants to take out our Kim.
And? I want to hear from Kim. And?
She's contemplating whether or not she's going to go.
Is it because of the age difference, or...
He seems very nice. He's very sweet. I told him, you know, I haven't told him what I do, you know, in the evening. But I did tell him, you know, if you want to talk to me, you can call me after 8 p.m. tonight. And he called me at 8:10 for the drive home. We had a nice talk. And he wanted to take me out on Monday, which was kind of nice. And he wants to take me out on his boat on Monday. So
for breakfast.
Which is... kind of ironic because of other reasons, but I don't know the age. I'm going to need a little feedback. If anybody wants to call in, can you give them the call-in number? Because, no, he's been married and divorced. He married his high school sweetheart, and he's divorced, and he knew he didn't want to, you know, pursue that. He has a little girl, and he's very mature.
So
he looks like a man.
Mature. He's got a child. He's been married. He's got a.
He looks like a man.
Okay, the number is 646-929. 0958. Now, of course, they're calling us cougars, which I hate because they don't call men. What do they call men when they go after, you know, an 80-year-old man that goes over, you know, goes after a 20-year-old girl? Is it, you know, I don't know, dirty old man. I don't know what they call him, but.
Oh.
I don't know.
No, he looks like a man. His name is Giovanni.
Well, nice name. Well, first of all, again, remember, if you're on a path toward a higher love, we can't question the package love comes in. So if he happens to come in a beautiful package, well, that's wonderful. If he happens to come in a younger package, I would not let that deter you. So,
it's definitely a good package, I can tell you that.
You're disgusting.
Well, I think, you know, our listeners are definitely going to be interested in hearing and following this, but I would just go there on Monday without, you know, worrying about outcome or if this
Well,
is
I'm
forever?
Very nervous. It's the first time I've actually been nervous.
Well, is that because you're attracted to him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Don't lie, Kim.
Just a little nervous. That's all.
Well, that's good. That's a healthy thing. Now, I also think that Nicole might have a date. So here are my two co-hosts are on their way to a higher love one way or another. So, Nicole, you want to share a little bit about this person with
yeah,
us?
Yeah, sure.
Details, just, you know, whatever you feel comfortable about. You know, I know it's a new relationship.
No, there's not really a whole lot of details to share, really. The only thing that I'm questioning about this is the timing that this is happening because
I'm not supposed to
start dating until April. That was my deadline. But, yeah, so this week I actually had an interesting week. I accidentally stabbed myself in the leg. And
with what?
As I was with a butterfly knife, but that's a different story. I was just being careless, and I stabbed my thigh about 2 inches into my muscle with a butterfly knife. And I still went to work the next day, and I'm hobbling around. And this girl that I've seen, you know, in my store before, decides that you know she's going to come in on this day. And you know, I'm being my usual self, and again, I'm injured and I'm hobbling around. So she's like, "Oh, what happened?" And I told her the story. She's like, "Ooh," she's like, "Let me see." I said, "Well, I would have to drop my pants for that." And she's like,
"And she didn't ask all the questions beforehand, so."
Oh, from before you dropped your drawers, okay?
Oh yeah, well that Marianne. Is true. I said I'd have to drop my pants to show you, and she's like, "Oh," she's like, "Well, maybe not on the first date." And I went. And I was very, very taken aback by that because I totally did not get that kind of vibe off of her. And then we began talking. And, you know, by the end of, I don't know, the second hour that she was in my store talking to me and helping me out while I was hobbling around trying to get some work done, she finally, you know, she finally just kind of said, "Well, okay, I'm going to have to go now." And I'm like, "All right." And she's like, "So when's your next day off?" And I was like, "Tuesday." And she's just like, "Oh, that's good," because she was, like, waiting for me to drop the question. So I just said, "Well, it's my first day off in, you know, in a while. So would you like to spend it with me?" And she just said, "Yes." So we're going out on Tuesday.
Hello?
We lost Cindy.
Well, I think we've lost Cindy. Did we really lose Cindy?
Okay. So getting back to...
Oh, crap, we really did lose Cindy. We're flying solo again this Nick.
Okay, Nick.
Why do I always have to be the host whenever we lose the host? Okay. That being said, now that I'm waiting eagerly for Cindy to call back in, the topic tonight, guys, is textual abuse. And basically what we mean by that is in today's day and age and with all the technology that's out there, cell phones and emails, we have online dating, we have Craigslist, for God's sakes, that people are still having trouble making that connection. And when people do have an existing connection, they tend to use these things to abuse that connection. So I'm going to actually pass this over to Kim. And Kim, have you ever been guilty of textual abuse, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I would have to say you really have to redefine what textual abuse is because I'm not quite sure what that
all right,
is.
Well,
have I been abusive verbally in my text message? I might not have said nice things every time. textual abuse in a matter of speaking, the number of text messages, yes.
Okay.
But typically speaking, A, I don't hardly answer my cell phone. You know that.
Yes, that is
And I
true.
Get text messages all day and morning and night and otherwise. And half the time I don't answer them either. But, yes, I have been guilty. I guess I have been guilty of textual abuse. I have sent people some not-so-nice emails, but within the parameters of respect.
Okay.
Voicing my opinion.
Voicing your
or my
opinion.
Feelings, I should say.
And your opinion has always been respectful.
Yes. Well,
you lie.
I would say
right now, you lie.
No, I mean, when Richard and I were going through our problems, there was some not so nice text messages, I would have to say, for at least a year, and then I just, not text messages, emails, and then I just stopped emailing and responding, so, you know.
Okay, well, now I'm actually going to pause here because I think we have Cindy back. Hello?
So we had a blackout here again.
Okay.
Well, here I am doing, that's what I get for wishing for an electronic blackout.
You see.
To get people to relate better. And can you believe it happened again? And so I'm sitting here in the dark and I was able to get my other phone to work because I do have one that will work even in a blackout, but I wasn't on that one because I didn't think
Well, if it makes you feel better, Cindy, we're sitting in the dark with the candles lit too, so.
Oh, well, that's good then. And
yeah.
So I heard what you were saying. The nasty emails sometimes and text messaging between people. I will have someone here getting a tarot card reading. And he's talking about his mate or something, you know, his cellmate, because it's certainly not a soulmate. And in the time he's sitting here, an hour, this woman texted him like 40 times. And each
was her name Kim?
And each message got nastier as he wasn't picking up his phone. To the point I couldn't believe it. And, you know, this becomes sort of an obsessional thing, and it really... You know, I don't know if people would have done that with their voice. I don't think she would have called him been that nasty with her voice. But I was pretty shocked by the text messages. And that's why, you know, TJ has come up with the expression textual abuse. I mean,
which I absolutely love. But Cindy, understand something, that there is something lost in translation with emails and text messages, without a doubt.
And it's sometimes people who are cowards, like... What made me come up with this idea was that one of my clients was really upset because she'd been with this guy for 4 years. And he was obviously cheating on her for the last year that she didn't know about, although, you know, through the readings it was pretty obvious and I kept telling her, but she said, I don't see any evidence, I don't think it's true, whatever. And he broke up with her after 4 years in an email. And said he said he had found someone else and he'd been with her for a year and he just wanted her to drop off his stuff or anything else. And
that's just as bad as Sex and the City when Carrie got broken up with on a post-it.
Right. And I thought that really took like this man's a coward. And in the past, people did have to sort of talk on the phone, not leave a message on your email or your voicemail. And it seemed, and when she tries to call him, first he wasn't picking up his cell phone, now he changed his number. And he only has a cell phone. So imagine, in the past we used to have like a landline, you know, you couldn't just pick up and run. People now have their cell phones that they can change. And you know, so she said, I'm going to go to his house, I'm going to speak to him, and I'm like, well, yeah, you could do that, but who knows if it'll be hiding, I don't know. But it just seemed like really an act of cowardice to do these things. So this is what brought me to the idea, are we connecting better or worse, or are we doing things we wouldn't do, you know, via email, or saying things on a text message that we wouldn't say in person, or leaving messages on voicemails that we wouldn't do if we had to talk to someone. And how is it affecting relationships? I don't know if it's ever happened to either one of you where someone's done something where they should have talked to you to your face and left a voicemail. It doesn't feel very good.
I would have to say yes, but I'm really not going to get into that. But I have been also guilty of knowing if a person's not going to answer their phone and leaving a message intentionally because they're not going to pick up the phone.
Yeah, well...
Not because... Maybe I didn't want to have a lengthy conversation. And I would say, you know, I hope you have a great day. I was just thinking about you. Or sometimes it's easier...
But it wasn't something that should have been said face-to-face.
If I didn't have the opportunity to say it face-to-face, you damn well sure you got a 10-page letter.
Well, see, even like a 10-page letter at least would explain more. I think the text messaging in abbreviated fashion is... would probably upsets people when, you know, message is delivered that you wish the person would say to you. And, you know, electronics is affecting everything. People are able to now watch movies 24/7 if they want to on television or rent them. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll have a client here and, you know, a woman will be complaining that she's, you know, not having any sex with her husband because he's always watching television. And I'm thinking, well, shut the TV off. Well, he gets mad if I shut the TV off. So we've got all these distractions that are keeping us separated. And, you know, maybe we need to shut off some of this stuff sometimes. Not with a blackout like I have here.
Well, that's very romantic, a blackout, actually.
Well, it's proven to be pretty romantic tonight, I would say. But we did get the lights on in the middle of the romantic, and every light went on. So,
and that could be romantic as well. And very
exciting. Yeah, lights shouldn't have to be off.
So, you know, it can be. And kind of shutting things off and deconnecting. And maybe, you know, I have some clients who are pathologically jealous and, you know, or they have mates who are pathologically jealous. And they'll say, like, sometimes they just want to wander a little bit and they don't want to pick up their cell phone. But if they don't, you know, the person keeps calling them or texting them. And if, God forbid, they shut it off, you know, it starts a big fight. Are we permitted to sometimes just say we want to shut off our cell phone and just being quiet for a walk uninterrupted? Is that okay?
I think it's okay. You know what, Cindy? Sometimes I actually take my phone off the hook. If I've been in the middle of an argument or disagreement and I just need time to think about what I'm going to say before I say it, it's just best to take the phone off the hook.
Well, that's what is the point I think I was trying to make with this. Sometimes we used to think we couldn't just, you know, the person wasn't instantly available when we had something to say. Maybe they were at work where you couldn't reach them or they were in transit. And so you'd have to think, you know, for a little while and cool off. Now people don't cool off. They're just furious and they pick up that cell phone or they text like instantly without taking that time to think, maybe I don't want to say this. And I'm finding the younger generation, when they're sitting here as clients, and they show me copies of, like, the text messages that they've printed up or emails, I'm shocked at things that they're saying back and forth. And I'm wondering if they took some time to think about it before they did it, maybe they wouldn't quite respond so harshly to each other. So I think what you're saying, sometimes taking the phone off the hook or just not answering for a little while till you cool off, is probably a good thing in relationships. I don't know if we have to say everything that pops into our head the moment it pops into it.
I would have to agree. Although I'm not 100% perfect in that area, but I've been known to, you know, I try not to hang up, but I say I'm hanging up the phone now and click.
Yeah, so you're not really resolving anything. You're just saying, I'm hanging up now.
Well,
I'm getting off the phone now.
I think that it's best to really think about what's going through your mind before you say, you know, something you regret.
That,
and actually, we can't ever take our words back. We can't take back emails, and we can't take back text messages. Whatever you put out there, you own it.
And they're putting them in print. I mean, one of my clients, one of her major things done in her courtroom during her divorce was copies of the nasty text messages that her husband always sent to her.
Oh, gosh.
So, I mean, this is even in print, you know, able to be printed up. So, you know, sometimes these are things that maybe you would be better off not to write, especially if you're going through a divorce or you're not getting along with your mate. You might want to, like, refrain from some of this.
And actually, guys, I'm going to interrupt you because we have a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
It's me.
Hi, TJ. How are you?
In the other room, completely in the dark. I want you all to know that when it blew up, I was reading my cell phone while you talking about text, you know, reading the news, and then I heard a transformer blow up outside, and I heard Cindy say, oh, my God, I'm off the air. And she's scrambling around in complete darkness. It's kind of but on what you're talking about, just a couple of things. First of all, when email first started, I was an AOL person, and used to be able to unsend your emails. Does anyone remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
You can still do that.
Yeah,
but now you could only unsend when you're emailing to another AOL person.
Right, well, yeah, okay. Well, back in the day.
Well, I didn't know that.
But so in the beginning, you know, like if you send an email and then 5 minutes later you realize maybe I shouldn't send it, you could if the person had it hadn't read it already, you were able to extract it. Yeah. And I remember
you
Don,
cannot extract text messages.
Well, here's the thing. That could still burn you, because I remember a few years ago, Kim and I had gotten into a fight about something. I don't even remember what it was, but we kind of got, like, a little bit nasty with each other. And, you know, I think she hung up the phone on me, and then I didn't call her back. And then I sent her this long, long email. And after I sent the long, long email, I said, you know what, I really don't want to send this, so I'm going to unsend it. And I did unsend it. Then I got a call from Kim like a couple of hours later saying, how dare I check her email? Because she had seen that I emailed her, saw it there, didn't open it, and because she didn't open it, I was able to unsend it. And she thought I hacked her email account in order to delete that email before she got a chance to read it.
Yeah.
She has a computer whiz.
Yeah, so even that could burn you.
Well, the thing that, you know, Don Imus a few years back said that he wasn't going to send any more emails because it's impulsive. He said that whenever you wanted to write a letter, you'd write the letter, then you'd have to, like, put it in an envelope, then put a stamp on it, then go to the post office. And somewhere along the line, you know, if what was in that letter wasn't what you really wanted to say, it wouldn't make it to the post office. But email, you know, you just sort of get, you know, you just fly off the handle, you push a button, and you can't get it back, you know. So it's kind of impulsively, like, at work when your boss or your superior or someone says something, and you really want to say something, but you hold it back because you're
no.
No.
I never hold back.
Well, Kim's in a different profession. She's got a mouth off as long as she looks good. But, okay, so go on with your story.
Well, the thing I was going to say is that, you know, normally you hold back. But with just you alone and the thing in your hand, I don't like the way that sounds. But anyway, moving right along.
You just start pushing buttons, and before you know it, you've sent something that maybe you wouldn't have or shouldn't have. And again, the younger generation seems to be much more guilty of this. And even their relationships, because they don't want to call them relationships, they're hookups. And what I'm shocked to discover is that, you know, they're with somebody for like 2 years. They don't call it a relationship. And they go, well, we just hook up, like, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, you just text message me, you want, you know, for a booty call or something. And I was pretty shocked by that whole concept that you only see this guy at 4 o'clock in the morning when he texts you for a booty call. And, you know, years ago when, you know, back in the dark ages when there was one family phone.
Throw rocks on the windows.
Yeah, well, they might throw a rock at the window.
Pebbles on the windows and flashing flashlights into the window.
Or,
I mean, how did we do it?
I've actually done that.
Right.
And then we had no choice. There was no phone. You know, the phone would
couldn't
ring.
Couldn't call anybody after 8 o'clock.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
There used to be one phone. It would ring and everyone would jump.
Everyone would wake up. You couldn't call somebody at 4 o'clock in the morning to hook up with you. I mean, so it has sort of changed the nature of relationships in a way that I'm not so sure is always positive. And one girl told me a story that some guy that she had sort of been kind of connecting with on the internet. You know, this is another thing. You're meeting people on the internet on dating sites, whatever. So that's a new way of electronically dating. And she had been talking to him for about a month. And one day he texted her on her phone and said, come on over. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, she's never met this guy. She goes to where he is at 5 o'clock in the morning. And she's shocked to discover that he wants to have a three-way with his roommate and her, you know, the two of them and her. And she was shocked. They go, well, you never met this guy. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, what in God's name would make you go there? Well, we always do this. People just text at 5 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock. But I was surprised that she was surprised that this wasn't what she thought it was going to be. But the whole way she met him was through this electronic thing, through a computer, then just through a text message, and actually never talking to him on the phone. So that was pretty shocking to me.
Then you go over somebody's house?
Yeah. And she's like 20 years old, and I'm like, I think you're like a little naive to think that this was going to be anything but that. But in her world, it isn't. In her world,
I do have a terrible story of my mother's neighbor about a month ago. She had a similar thing, and she went over to the gentleman's house. It was in Pennsylvania, and he murdered her.
No.
And she was 35 years old. And this happened, actually, my mother's neighbor a month ago. They had an internet connection, and she wound up going there, and he murdered her and then committed suicide.
Again, these are the new ways of electronically meeting people, and we still have to use some of our intelligence. And, you know, she's 35, and, you know, that's definitely a grown woman, but it is a generation that has been raised on more of these electronic things, and maybe they're not as skeptical as I might be or someone else, but I'm not surprised to hear this stuff, but, you know, it's terrible and it's shocking, and again, we all have to be a little bit more careful in how we're meeting people if we're meeting them online.
You know, I think the internet is a wonderful thing. I mean, to meet people, all this eHarmony, Match.com, it's actually not for me. I've tried it, and I'm not comfortable with people wanting to meet within 24 hours. I mean, I find that a little unnerving that they're so anxious to meet so quickly without any correspondence or telephone calls or anything like that. But from what I understand, this is the way it is now,
right,
with adults as well.
And again, it's a new way of electronically communicating. And again, I'm not so sure that all of this is, you know, the best thing. And, you know, a generation that's, you know, just communicating through text messages when they're going to meet or be together. And they're not really communicating or talking a lot. You know, like these younger people will tell me, well, you know, he text messages, then we go there, we watch a movie, whatever. I go, do you ever talk or communicate? Well, there's always a video game on or the movie or email, their computer or this or that. And, you know, these people have known each other. Like, this girl had known this guy for about a year, and she really – I asked her some questions about him. She didn't have the basic answers at all about him because they've never had a conversation. And, again, this is getting too much electronics and not enough shutting things off, communicating, and, you know, really getting to know a person without all these distractions around us. And, you know, Kim, you have children that are how old now?
10 and 12.
Okay, so...
Actually, Richard's birthday was last week. I have to thank everybody for going to Play and Trade and making it a spectacular birthday because it was the best ever. But they're not allowed to text message, and they're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to go on the computer. I don't allow them to do any of that.
Okay, but they will be dating in a few years, say, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is.
No, they won't.
I don't think so.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
No, I think that as much as I can, I will be very much involved with that. So.
And seeing that they communicate, you know, in other ways besides just, you know, texting each other back and forth and, you know, going back to a little bit of simpler times and ways in which we weren't always so totally electronically connected to every person. I mean, there are, you know, sometimes when I'm just overwhelmed by the volume of emails or phone calls or this or that. And again, what people tend to do in relationships, if they want to speak to someone and they're not there and instantly, they call the cell phone, they call the home phone, the email, they IM, you know, do we have to respond in 2 seconds to everything that's bombarded on us, or can we just take a minute? You know, unless it's urgent to keep bombarding somebody 800 ways, it can be unnerving. And I think in the past, when there was a family, when there was one telephone, you know, you weren't on the phone all the time.
Oh, we weren't allowed to use the phone.
Yeah, no.
That cost money back then.
Yeah.
Emergencies only.
Is that out of the area code? I don't know.
Am I still on this?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you are, TJ.
Oh, you know, like, remember, like, a guy would call, like, a house to call his girlfriend, the father would answer the phone?
And I would never get the message?
And then the guy would say, you know what time it is? It's 9:40, and you're calling my, you know, I mean, it wasn't so, there were
loose
filters.
Right, and
there
so here's
filters.
People, this is what's going on. These people are communicating to you at the 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, come over, let's meet, let's do this, let's do that. Again, in a way that sort of, I think there was a little bit more, you were aware of your behavior a little because everybody in the world knew what was going on and they were watching and knowing who their children were talking to and what time and when. And I'm not sure that this is helping relationships. I see a lost generation in many ways. When
you know, Cindy, when I get text messages at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, it does affect the relationship because it pisses me off. What are you doing? It's 2:30 in the morning. What do you think I'm doing? It happens a lot. I should probably turn the phone off, but...
Yeah, well, sometimes we can't always shut off our phones because there's people, perhaps, you know, our grown children or other children or parents who are elderly, whatever. We can't shut things off all the time. We have to leave them open for people who may actually need us in an emergency.
Right.
So, you know, it is something that we have to start thinking about. How is this affecting us and other people? And, you know, in constant communication, do we sometimes just say things we wish we didn't? And that's what I'm finding is happening in a lot of the couples that are coming here to me, and I do a lot of couple counseling, that the people are just saying mean things to each other because they can reach each other every second. And, you know, they'll tell me this argument they had over the text or over the cell phone or this or that, and I'm looking at it, and it, you know, hearing this, and it's almost like a comedy routine. It would be funny if it wasn't so sad. So it's one of those things, learning to perhaps use the technology for good and to help us connect in better ways, but not necessarily in worse ways, because it is becoming something that we all have to deal with, and we all have to decide, is it appropriate for somebody to be calling you at 3 o'clock in the morning?
No.
And
somebody better be injured or dead if you're calling
them. Or in jail.
Right. I mean, when you, and what happens is people are calling, you know, while they're driving at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes, you know, I'll be here and my cell phone will ring and I'll like freak out at 4 o'clock in the morning who's calling. And it'll be a wrong number because the person's dialing when they're driving. And, you know, I'm like, who the hell are they calling at 4 o'clock in the morning? And why did it have to be the wrong number to me? But, you know, it is just a world that's 24/7 somehow always connecting. And, you know, it is something that has affected the quality of relationships, and I'm not so sure it's all for the better. And all of us need to, you know, have a voluntary blackout, and I'm going to not use that word ever again because it seems to have come back to haunt me today. But just deciding sometimes to shut off the television and to talk face-to-face, you know, not emails, not webcams, face-to-face in the same room. It's a very pleasant thing. And getting to know each other through longer conversations and, you know, everybody seems to have these shortcut ways of communicating from text messaging. I mean, just it's amazing when you read the professional text messages. Not me, I can't even figure out what they're saying.
Well, you know what, Cindy, that gets back to like what Kim was saying before, because before when we were talking about the textual abuse, it's, you know, we were referring to like breaking up and doing and saying things that you wouldn't normally say to a person's face. Anything that involves technology on that level as far as helping people connect, it's not a bad thing. But people just need to remind themselves that that's not the only thing. I mean, like Kim was saying before with her emails, a lot gets lost in translation when you're just, you know, writing words back and forth, especially if you don't know the temperament and you don't know how that particular person is. You know, so you cannot have a new relationship via text message or via email. It just won't work. When you're sitting face-to-face with somebody, you know, you read body language, you read, you know, there's eye contact, there's so much more available to you just by having the person there. So people just, you know, cell phones and text messaging, emails, online dating, none of that is bad when it helps you connect. Just make sure that you know who you're connecting with and make sure that it's not, you know, solely in the electronic world. Make sure that you can, you know, make a safe connection in the physical world as well and
right.
Not just a booty
and
call.
And for the case that Kim was talking about where this woman did meet this man online, when we had Marianne Camerato last week, she was saying that you need to, you know, ask some questions or find out some information, perhaps if you've met somebody online. But, you know, you're not even sure they're giving you a real name. So it
or
might
even any correct information, because I've experienced that as well. People are very dishonest in their profiles and such. And I've met two people on the internet. One I actually decided not to meet when I gave him my cell phone, and he was getting angry after the 10th call, calling me the C word because I didn't pick up my phone. And I never met this man.
She was at the beach. She didn't get reception.
And it freaked me out that I had 10 messages, and each one progressively got worse, and I never met this man.
Well, that was your angels and guides protecting you from him, because they showed you how crazy he was. You know, you didn't have to go a U.S. search or find out his real name.
Oh, no.
He's crazy.
I was like, really, like, wow, people really get freaked out here when
right.
you don't pick up your phone. Well, you know what, Cindy? I hardly ever pick up my phone. That's the honest truth.
Well,
I can vouch for that.
And again, it is sometimes...
It's not a personal thing.
I know with my ex-husband, I actually had to tell him he wasn't permitted to call me during the day because I was writing and doing things. And this was before cell phones, when there was just a regular phone. And if I didn't pick up immediately, he would call 100 times. And, you know, I'd be on the phone with a client or something, and I'd hear this beep, beep, beeping in, you know, and it would be driving me nuts. And I was like, if I can't pick up, I can't pick up, you know, and it's nothing personal, but we can't always, if we're working, pick up a phone and be interrupted. So I think there's just that certain, you know, sort of understanding that we can't always be available 24/7, because I'm having clients that are having major fights. Couples are having major fights because she's not picking up the cell phone when I call. Or, you know, I leave her, you know, I email her and she didn't email me back within 5 minutes. I mean, was it possible she wasn't near the computer? Or, well, she has a black.
Well, maybe
she
the computer
iPhone.
Went down. I mean, it's happened to me before where people get annoyed when I don't email them back. I'm like, oh, my computer was down.
Well, what happens when you forget your cell phone and now you panic? I mean, people will tell me, oh, my God, I left half the
I do that all the time.
And I panicked all day because nobody could reach me, and I was so afraid that someone would want to reach me and they couldn't reach me. Instead of just thinking the person forgot the cell phone or the battery, you know, ran out of battery, people start thinking, like, horrible things because, they're, you know, they tried to reach you all day. And one of my clients said she had to try to find a pay phone so that she could call, like, her, the five people on her main list, like her mother and her sister and her kids and her husband, let them all know she forgot her cell phone. And she said, did you ever try to find a payphone? She said, I couldn't find one.
Impossible.
So I finally begged somebody in the street if I could borrow their phone so that I could call everybody and tell them I forgot my cell phone. So, you know, it's, again, we're so used to these things, but when we don't have them, it can cause chaos or trouble or, you know, all kinds of things. So
all I have to say is thank God they didn't have them when I was a teenager.
Well, parents also have their kids hooked up to phones and want their kids, you know.
They're low-jacking them.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, again, this is electronic.
Which right now, currently, I don't think is such a bad idea.
Yeah, no, because
20 years ago.
Yeah, when you were a kid, you wouldn't have wanted it. You know, no way. But again, it's using these things in a kind way and not, you know, just spurting things off. Because, you know, what I found is that sometimes people will say meaner things on a text message or on a voicemail than they would ever say to my face. So, you know, if you're not going to say it to the person's face, then don't put it down on a voicemail either, because that isn't, you know, that's a sort of a coward's way of saying something.
I would agree.
And again, maybe we could draw some rules that breakups are not done via email or voicemail, you know, or text messages. They could.
You
be
never ever break up with somebody in a text message, email, answering machine, or any of the above. You shouldn't even do it over the phone. If you need to break up with somebody, you should do it face to face. Because I mean, if you had an extensive relationship with them, I would say it's acceptable to do it over the phone if you've only been with them for a year or under.
That's
if you've been with somebody over 1 year, then they deserve to have you say whatever it is you need to say face-to-face. Unless you would be putting yourself in physical danger by doing it face-to-face, they deserve to be broken
That's
up with face-to-face.
That's a very good comment. If there's physical danger, then, of course, that would be something different.
Nobody deals with breakups well, so I think as long as it's verbally communicated, either on the phone or in person, that would be
But not an email or a...
No, that's just very cowardly. I mean, but some people are weak, Cindy. We can't, take, for granted that everybody has a lot of power and control of who they are, and they know who they are. They're just scared.
And can we draw a few other rules, just because someone's in your relationship, you're having a relationship with another person or romantic or whatever, you can't expect because you have a cell phone and he or she has one that the second you need something, you can call and they have to come help, they have to come rescue, they have to do this, have to do that. People have to be a little independent in their own way. And, I'm finding that what's happening is, and it was funny because TJ and I went to the Long Island Authors meeting, and David Axelrod, who was last year's Poet Laureate of Suffolk County, a brilliant man, said, I want all of you to shut off your cell phones. And he said something under his breath, my daughter will have to deal with all of her catastrophes by herself tonight. And, nobody really caught that joke but me. And it's how we feel, as parents of grown children. You don't have grown children, so you won't really understand this yet, but as parents of grown children, the grown children seem to be calling us in a way that we never did to our parents every 2 seconds. Can you help me? Can you bail me out? Can you do this? Can you do that? And it almost feels like we're not permitted to shut off in case our children need us for something. But years ago, you really weren't able to call people all the time. You did have to deal with the catastrophe by yourself. I remember, running a business and having like 10 entertainers going out to do children's parties. And I was outdoing them myself. This was before cell phones. I would come home and the answering machine would have, four people calling with catastrophes. They would call 400 times. By the time I got home, they had to have settled them themselves. And they did. It all worked out. Finally, I'd hear the last message, okay, it worked out fine. Yeah, it's okay. It's all taken care of. But if I had a cell phone, it would have been 40 calls bombarding me while I'm trying to do my job. And so sometimes before we pick up that phone and, start dumping on somebody or saying, oh, this happened, can you deal with it by yourself for a little while? Because it is something that people did have to do in the past, and they weren't so, unable to deal with little problems by themselves. And kids do it all the time. I'll have somebody getting a tarot card reading here, and the person gets 400 calls. It's like their kids, their 12-year-old, their 8-year-old, their 20-year-old, their mother, 800 calls. And finally go, well, maybe I should shut the phone off. But they hesitate as if, oh, my God, everybody's going to be mad at me. But she told everybody she was going to be getting a tarot card reading for an hour. Why couldn't they all leave her alone?
I shut my phone off, and I have no calls from my children. I tell them I'm shutting my phone off. Don't call me.
You see, that's
they don't abuse the phone, though. I mean, my kids are great. They don't abuse the phone.
Yeah, no, they're great.
But that's a good training, Kim. If you can start that now, you will eliminate a lot of those problems later on.
Yeah, they're pretty self-reliant people,
again, getting people to be a little self-reliant, to, use these things as ways of, it's wonderful to have a cell phone and know that, your child can call and say, I'm fine, I arrived, I'm there. It's wonderful to feel connected and say, I love you, during the day with your cell phones. It can be used wonderfully to give a text that says, I love you, I miss you. Those are wonderful ways, if you use it in a positive sense, or an email that, you put a loving message. These can be very helpful in a relationship, especially if you don't have time to talk, but you get a little message. It does feel nice. So we can always use them for positive things, but it can be a point where, I have clients that are dealing with pathologically jealous mates. God forbid they don't pick up that phone in 2 seconds. They hear it, for like a thousand.
Oh, believe me, I see it all the time.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, you better jump. The phone's ringing. And they run out the door.
Not for anything. I work in a video game store, and I still see it. Where, like, these kids, and I'm talking like 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, sitting here, sitting in my store playing video games, laughing around with their friends. The moment the girl, quote, end quote, calls, everybody's up in arms. They break into cold sweats. They run out the door, and then they try to make up of where they actually are. Like, they don't say, oh, hey, I'm over at Plane Train. They say, oh, well, I just had to run out for a minute, and I was going to call you as soon as I was done.
Wow.
It's like, what kind of girls are these that these guys are getting so scared to say, hey, I'm out with the boys?
Yeah, and of course, everybody has to hear them lying, too. That's
oh, yeah, it's great.
I love it. I'm
I
like, where
no
are you tonight?
I have no idea.
So Home Depot. Of our lives.
I have no idea how much time we have left because I don't
10
have
minutes.
A
oh, okay. We have 9 minutes left, Cindy.
Okay, good, because I'm, you know, again, sitting here in the dark without any electronics except my this telephone.
I'll and give you the two-minute warning. Don't worry. We got you.
So basically, you know, what my whole, why I wanted this show is because I'm hearing a lot of complaints from couples that.
I actually have an interesting story of a gentleman friend of mine who recently, like 5 days ago, went out and bought a prepaid phone.
Oh, is that?
So he could just talk to me.
Oh, because he's
and
married?
Text message me.
Is he married or something?
Yes. It was very kind of him to do so. And I said, well, that's a very sneaky thing.
Again, the electronics have allowed people to be able to cheat in a way they never
And he's
would.
Like, I lost my phone. Oh, my God, in the house today, and I couldn't find it. I said, oh, what's going to happen when she does find the phone?
Right. People with you know, people will have different phones and be able to, you know, do things in a way electronically that they couldn't do before, like, you know, so their wife will be checking their regular cell phone, but now they have this prepaid phone, which, of course, you can't, you know, check at all. I mean, unless you find it because they don't hide it very well.
Yeah.
So, you know, electronic cheating in that way.
Yes, they're absolutely untraceable.
And there's absolutely something that Newsday had recently in it, that there is a service in which you call in and you tell them, you know, if my wife calls, say, you know, you have to answer that this is the Hilton Hotel Hawaii because she thinks I'm on a business trip in the Hilton Hotel Hawaii. And they pick up and say, the Hilton Hotel Hawaii, oh, yes, I will, you know, deliver your message to your husband. Then they call his cell phone and he calls his wife or whatever from
sounds
wherever
like a lot
is,
of work.
Which isn't. But it is
yeah,
a way.
Yeah, but what an ingenious idea to facilitate.
Stop giving ideas out, Cindy.
What an ingenious idea. Yeah, of course. But
it's
they were
absolutely
talking,
brilliant.
Right, but they were just talking about how these services now allow people to be more deceptive in ways
wow.
that they couldn't be in the past and harder to trace. And so some of this electronics has allowed people to, of course, cheat in ways they wouldn't before. Like, you know, people meet, you know, they go to, like, Facebook or, you know, My Life, which was reunion.com.
I am a Facebook junkie, I have to admit. Go on.
And they're able to, like, connect with past loves and sort of meet them through this in a way that you never, you know, look, you could never locate people from, you know, in the
My first boyfriend actually contacted me about 2 months ago, my first 12-year-old boyfriend.
Okay.
Aww.
So there you go. And, you know, there's been a lot of things written up in a lot of magazines lately, basically about people who are married that have connected with old loves via Facebook or reunion.com. And, you know, are they having an affair because they're talking, you know, electronically through emails or the telephone? Is that an affair? Is it not an affair? So, again, these are different things that we're dealing with in a way that other generations didn't deal with. And they are fine line questions.
Well, you know, if you have to ask yourself, is it unfair or not, would you like it being done to you?
That's right. That's very true.
You know, I mean, my ex-husband would get female calls, and I'd be like, oh, well, and I really didn't care one way or the other. But, again, I got many calls from men as well. I mean, so it wasn't really a thing, but if it was something sneaky where he was taking a phone call and walking away out of the house, away from me.
Or has a prepaid phone.
Oh, well.
Well, there's no question about the prepaid phone.
He already had a prepaid phone.
Just because you have a prepaid phone, it doesn't make you James Bond. I mean, it just makes you sneaky.
And so you accepted this prepaid phone?
Oh, no, I purchased it. That's another story. He didn't pay his phone bill. I had to purchase one. I had to be able to get in touch with him. So, but if you don't want it done to, if something like that happens to you, or you're thinking like, this isn't wrong, but if you found out your partner's doing it, then it's wrong.
Absolutely. And this is basically, you know, use these things in a kind way, a fair way. It has made people be able to be a little bit more sneaky, a little bit more deceptive, and kind of a little harder to trace and get away with.
Right. I mean, even passwords on cell phones. I never checked my ex-husband's cell phone ever, one message ever in 10 years because I trusted him. I never even would have thought to check the cell phone or the account or anything otherwise. But I never had the password either. I don't know. I never thought about it. But people can change their passwords every day, every second. You know, here's my password, and then the next day change it so they can't get the messages. But why would you want to check your partner's message anyway?
Well, we talk about that in the book, if you remember.
Right.
That once you have to start spying like that, the relationship's pretty damaged to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, because this basic trust issue there, you know, and, you know, TJ and I sort of have this, you know, rule, like, he doesn't go into my computer, and I certainly don't touch his. I don't want to mess up his computer, you know, and I don't want him messing up mine. But why would I want to check what he's doing on his computer?
Right. Like, I have no interest, and I think sometimes people should have a little privacy in what they're doing. If there's a matter of trust going on, and you're considering the person might be having an affair, then if you're considering it and questioning it, it's usually true.
Right. I already have the answer.
Right. And if it isn't true, there's some issue you have to address somewhere,
exactly.
Whether it's your own pathological jealousy or insecurities. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's something to examine there. But what we're going to do is strive to use, you know, our cell phones and our emails for loving messages and kind messages and connecting. But if we're going to, you know, fight via them, I don't think that's the best way to do it, because it can really escalate out of hand. Because that's what I've seen with my own clients here, that it has gotten to be like an epidemic proportion of problems, and that it's people of all generations, but I find it's mainly my clients in their 20s, that the fighting's gotten really vicious via text messages, you know, and it's, you know, I have to tell those couples, draw the line, they're not allowed to argue through text messages at all. That's it. That has to stop. You know, that's the first rule. You know, you can fight in person, but, you know, this has to stop. And it's really helped them in their own way to, you know, not be so mean to each other. But it was a simple rule, and, you know, this couple's been following it, and they're doing much better. But, you know, I'm not a person that even uses my text messages, so I can't say that I'm guilty of any of that, but...
I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm guilty.
You've never sent a nasty
very convenient
text
message.
I have never sexually abused you.
No, you haven't.
Right.
I might have sexually harassed you, but I've never, ever sexually abused you.
Oh, I get that all the time.
All right, guys, and we have 1 minute remaining.
Okay, there's shout-outs going there. This has been a fun show in Blackout, and, you know, I hope everybody has a great week. Kim, you have a shout-out?
Yes, to all the people or person that I have sexually abused in the past. I do apologize. I'll do my best not to do that anymore. Thank you to my friend Monday for taking me shopping, clothes shopping. I need new clothes for the salon, so I appreciate that. Although Giovanni does not know about this show, if he so happens to listen to it when I tell him about it, hi, and I love you all.
And he will find out about your profession, by the way.
Oops. Guess he won't be listening to the show. Not for a while.
Well, we wanted to keep that a secret just in case he decided, just in case, you know, we wanted to talk about him. Yeah. I would just like to give a shout-out to my lady friend that I'm going to see on Tuesday. Even though she doesn't know about the show yet, I'm going to tell her then. So I just want to acknowledge her.
Can you tell her in person or via text message?
I'm going to tell her in person.
Okay, good. All right, so I'm looking forward to speaking to you all next week, and have a great
week. Yeah, this will be an interesting week, Sid.
Godspeed on your way to a higher love.
And forward me any emails with any advice for me.
Oh, yeah. Because
I will.
Okay.
I will.
Thank you, guys. I love you all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.